702.
Masterclass time. I absolutely love these moments because it almost feels like being in school again and being excited to learn about something new. And I don't know much about these type of expeditions, but Murray Williams, Managing Communications at Ultima Antarctic Expedition, joins us. Murray, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good afternoon. Wow, what a absolute pleasure to be talking to you. And let's see if we can live up to the name of a masterclass. Absolutely, super excited.
We definitely will. So let's start with your personal journey. How did you end up getting into the space? And it's interesting because we are currently doing a series at the moment, and the series is on once-in-a-lifetime experiences. So it almost feels like perfect timing that we're having this conversation. We touched on travel, we touched on food, but how many people actually wake up and say, I want to go to Antarctica?
You're absolutely right. I think, and maybe that's the perfect place to start, because normally when you wake up in the morning, I'm not sure whether you dream at night or whether you don't, but a lot of us who sometimes have dreams during the night, you wake up and you think, goodness, did that actually happen? Was that real?
Yes.
And I think it's called a dream. And for others, it's called a dream come true. So, you know, it is a bit like that. I think it is still, after having been to Antarctica so many times, it's still almost impossible belief that I've actually been there, number one. And number two, that you can get there from Cape Town in half the time that it takes you to fly to, I don't know, Europe. You know?
Oh, wow.
It really is. It takes a real sort of an extension of the mind to appreciate that this is a real tourism opportunity, and from Cape Town, no less. But, let me answer your question. I mean, how I got involved, I'm principally a journalist and a storyteller, but with an extensive background in tourism. And when I found out about this opportunity to go to fly to Antarctica from Cape Town, I was hooked at like hook, line, and sinker.
Yes.
It's a South African registered company. A number of my colleagues are people that I've known for a very, very long time. And I was actually taken down initially by the explorer, the very famous explorer, Rion Manser.
Wow.
Who said, listen, come and join me. He has an extraordinary program called Matrix in Antarctica. Mm. And it must surely be the world's most astonishing educational program. I'm sure you've spoken to Rion previously on the show, but Rion is an explorer. He's been setting world firsts for decades, frankly.
Yes.
He cycled around Africa. First person to do so. He's paddled around Madagascar. And I've collaborated with Rion in writing a series of children's books, principally for my Lark Lamaki.
Yes.
And more recently for his kids.
Yes.
And Rion runs this program where every year he selects five or six lucky, blessed matrics to win a nationwide competition. There's a very rigorous selection process. And Rion has been taking Matrix down for several years. And that was the first trip that I joined sort of 2 years ago, perhaps, accompanying Rion and some of his amazing educationalists, taking these young South Africans down onto the ice and experiencing Antarctica firsthand. So that was my sort of my first Antarctic experience, right into the thick of it from word go.
So in terms of what you knew about Antarctica prior to going there, because, you know, words on paper are one thing, the theory and the practicals are just not the same. What are some of the things that absolutely shocked you when you got there that, you know, you're not prepared for? I've heard of people who climb Kilimanjaro, they train and do all those things, but there's something that hits them when they're actually doing or running a comrades.
No, you're so right. And I think not only do words not tell the full story, not even photographs do the full story, frankly, or even video.
Yes.
So the first astonishing thing is when you get to the airport, Cape Town International, and you look up at those big boards that saying, you know, Lufthansa, Berlin, and New York, and lo and behold, it says Ultima Antarctic Expeditions or Logistics and Antarctica, and you do a double take, even though you've been preparing for, you know, a week or two.
Yes.
The second thing is is surely we exit through the normal, you know, you go through customs and you go through passport control, you do all the usual stuff. But then you are driven by bus out to this rather special aircraft. It's what I call the sort of land cruiser of the skies, this massive illusion aircraft, which is tailor-made to land in really challenging conditions. And you climb on board this aircraft and you feel like you're in a James Bond movie. Number one, there are no windows. This is a cargo, a comfortable, safe quality, but it's a cargo aircraft. And you sort of strap yourself in, feeling a bit like Bear Grylls about to, you know, jump out into some no man's land. Or you literally feel like you're in a Bond movie. So that's probably the second thing. The aircraft's incredibly noisy. So we're fitted with special earplugs or noise-canceling headphones. And when this beast rumbles down the runway, you think, yop, 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 this is something different. I think I've been to about 60 countries. But, and then, you know, lastly, about an hour away from Antarctica. So you've been flying we normally leave in the morning, about 9 o'clock. And at about 12:30 South African time, 1 o'clock, you hear that faint change to the engine's note like you do on a normal aircraft. And if the captain was to make announcements, which they don't do on this aircraft, the captain would say, passengers, we have now begun our descent. And you just have that extraordinary sense of excitement.
Yes.
There are some tiny little windows you can peek out at, and you start looking down into the South Atlantic Ocean and seeing an iceberg or two. And then the really exciting part comes when your duffel bag, your tote bag, is sort of dumped next to your seat, or you go and fetch it yourself. And it's now time to change into your polar gear. You're sitting in your seat in your, you know, South African clothes, your t-shirt and your jeans and your tackies. And it's now time to pull in or change into this heavy duty polar gear. Still while we're on the aircraft, massively thick, heavy boots, all weather, foul weather jackets, mitts, buffs, you know, the whole shooting match. And strangely, you don't even really feel touching down on the ice. This aircraft's got about 25, 26 wheels, and the landing on the 3-kilometer-long blue ice runway is actually softer than landing on car at Cape Town International Airport. But you get a sense that you've landed. The technicians open the door and pass a ladder down, and then the guys bring the stairs. And it's that moment. It is that moment when you look out into this icy wilderness that you literally feel that your eyes are deceiving you. Sure, you can see the pictures, you can read about it, but it's just this blind white paradise. And you think you've landed on another planet. There's actually no other way of saying it.
I almost imagine that when you are about to get off, you get clubbed by the reality of the weather and how cold it is.
So that's the other funny thing. I reckon that 2/3 of the time I've been down, I've stepped out into the most beautiful blue sky days you've ever seen in your life before, with barely a breath of wind, maybe half the time.
Yes.
Crystal clear blue skies contrasted against this whiter than white. It doesn't even feel like a color. And so that's the irony. You know, you step out half the time into conditions of an air temperature of maybe -5 degrees. Now, to you and I, that feels pretty cold, but there it's, because it's so dry, it doesn't actually penetrate like the wetter, you know, freezing cold Joburg or freezing cold Cape Town. And you actually feel like you've arrived in a summer destination. But then again, you're absolutely right. Half the time, the other half of the time, you're either in a light snowstorm or in winds of 15 to 20 knots. And it's on those occasions that you think, yo, okay, now I'm going to have to toughen up because this is the real deal. So, you know, obviously we don't fly down. We don't leave Cape Town if there's a snow blizzard in Antarctica. So that's probably what sways it a little bit in favor of the great weather, because we wouldn't be going down in the first place if the weather's impossible.
We're going to take a quick break as we continue this masterclass on Antarctic exhibitions with Murray. Your calls 011-883-0702. The WhatsApp line 0727021702.
702.
Masterclass.
19 minutes after 2 o'clock. And on this masterclass today, we're talking about Antarctic exhibitions with Murray Williams, who is managing communications at Ultima Antarctic Exhibitions. And we have been chatting already around that beginning journey of making one's way to Antarctica. We take your calls on 011-883-0702 and the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. Murray, when I look at the images of Antarctica, it really is truly breathtaking just to see the completely different experiences one can have, be it the snowy weather, the clear blue skies, being able to see penguins. I didn't even know that there are people who have gotten married in Antarctica.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. I mean, so, you know, we're saying we're talking about stepping out onto the ice. I mean, there was a lovely advert that you played during your commercial break now for Alan Gray, and we all know they make the best ads. And the gentleman in his beautiful voice was saying that time is the ultimate gift. And, you know, that's what makes this thing special. There are many ways of getting to Antarctica. And most people go via South America by ship. And that's obviously a wonderful experience, I'm sure. But, you know, it takes 2 days to get there and 2 days back. So there's 4 days already. Whereas setting foot in Antarctica from Cape Town, it's just a 5.5 hour flight. That's the sort of, you have to check yourself that you really is, you know, that you're experiencing what you're seeing in front of you, because it's been such a short passage of time. Mm. And it was exactly that attracted two couples in the last season to get married down there. We note those zany ideas. I know you guys, you're super creative, and you sit in your production meetings and you come up with these weird ideas.
Yes. Well,
I had an idea. I don't know who wins that competition on your team and who the person is who has to sort of talk you down from the crazy idea. But anyway, I had a crazy idea of running a competition last November, and the competition was elope to Antarctica and get married next Thursday.
What?
And the guy sort of looked at me as if I was a bit, you know, cooked in the head.
Yeah.
Anyway, we ran this competition, get married in Antarctica next Thursday. And we had about 1,200 entries. And we took down a couple, a beautiful couple that had the most extraordinary story. They were planning to get married out near Caledon on the Western Cape. And a major flood, the floods of last year, washed away their wedding venue. And then the second time they tried to get married, a photographer ran off with all their money. So this poor couple, man, they really deserve to have it third time lucky. And we set off. They really didn't believe what they were about to do. And we married them next to the ice wall, which is about a 45-minute drive by Hilux 4x4 truck from our airstrip. And, yeah, have a look on the website. It's the most precious thing. Just two people, no family, no witnesses other than the priest, alone in this vast wilderness, which, remember, Lebo, this is, Antarctica is 2.5 times the size of Australia.
Mm. It's huge.
We don't really think about it, because you look on a map and it's this little white thing at the bottom of the world, 2.5 times the size of Australia. And it's there that this couple tied the knot. And I think, well, have a look at their wedding pics and tell me what you think.
Look, from what I'm seeing, I just think, firstly, you are very smart to have come up with such a brilliant idea, not just to raise awareness that it's such an accessible trip, because many people don't know it's so accessible, but now to have come up with all these stories, they can be telling that story for life. Like, we actually went and got married in Antarctica. But I want to take a step back to ask about, you know, when people approach to say they'd like to go, what are the T's and C's or the criteria with regards to getting on that plane, with regards to the gear that you're wearing? Are there any medical exclusions, for example, for a person to go out there? And then secondly, how long does that trip become an expedition? Because I kind of imagine, in my mind, when I think about expedition, I'm like, okay, we're going to be here like 3 weeks.
Yeah. No, thank you. I mean, perhaps let's start at the beginning, if I may. The first thing to note is that the season is incredibly short. The Antarctic season is from more or less the beginning-ish of November until the end of January, maybe just a nibble into February. So it's essentially November, December, January, February, or 3.5 months. Let's call it 3.5 months. And so the first thing in terms of, you know, exclusions and T's and C's and all of that is you just have to book early. We take a tiny number of people down to Antarctica every year. We go to what's called the deep field of Antarctica. People who go by ship from South America, there are many thousands of people go, and they go to the coastline, the Antarctic Peninsula. We take people to what we think is, you might say, real Antarctica, into the real deep interior of Antarctica. And so to do that, we can only take a very small number of people every year. Our aircraft that flies down to the South Pole and which goes to see the Emperor Penguins can only take to 12 people. That's in our second aircraft. We have our own aircraft in Antarctica. So the first thing is you've got to book early. In terms of health, any person that is capable of flying to Cape Town from anywhere in the world on a normal international flight is very welcome to come with us. But it is so important for us to know if people have any conditions. We've taken people with diabetes. We've taken, people with a number of conditions. And we have doctors. We have paramedics. You're well looked after, but we do need to know in advance. That's all. And we take elderly people. I don't know what people think of as elderly, but, you know, we take people into their late 70s, early 80s down. You're well looked after. It's safe. It's comfortable. But it's more your heart that needs to be young to go down, because it feels like a real adventure, because it is. The third T is sort of T and C is that it is weather dependent. We had a trip last year which had to be postponed for a couple of days. I mean, our Chinese guests didn't mind whatsoever because they were in the V&A waterfront. So what a pleasure. But there are times when when a trip has to be postponed by a day or two. We have the best weather people on earth, and they're constantly, looking at all the different weather maps, the weather systems. We're in constant touch with the American base down at the South Pole itself. So that's the third thing. You know, you need to be willing to have a delay or two on either side of your trip. And then finally, the trips. Wow. Well, a couple who went down and got married, they went down on what we call the Ultima Day, which lasts, can you guess?
24 hours?
No, you're exactly right. So I still can't quite get my head around it. You know, you're saying to someone, well, listen, I'd love to go mountain biking with you on Friday. I just can't tomorrow because I'm going to Antarctica, but let's do it on Friday.
And I'll be right back.
And they look at you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sure, Mom. I'll see if it's up on Friday. I'm just shooting down to AQ quickly and then catch you on Friday. So believe it or not, it's true. You fly down in 24 hours. And Lebo, you spend about 11 hours on the ice. If you've got photographs there of the ice wall, ice tunnel, and of course our air base, that's what you would visit there. And then from the sort of shortest trip to the longest would be our South Pole trip, our sort of grand tour, if you will.
Yes.
You fly down to Antarctica, spend a day relaxing at our newly refurbished Ultima Oasis camp. And then within a day or two, depending on the weather, jump into the Basler aircraft and take a second flight for about 6 hours all the way down to the South Pole. You'd spend several hours at the South Pole, stay at our wilderness camp in tents on the way back, and you'd return back to our Oasis camp after a turnaround time of sort of 2 hours. And then you've still got the Emperor Penguins, which is yet another intracontinental flight. And that total trip, plus the ice wall, plus the ice cave, plus some hiking and biking and relaxing and doing what you want to, that's a 7-hour trip. So essentially between 24 hours and 7 days. And then you have the extremists who say, no, well, we want to go hiking and trekking. We are in partnership with some amazing guides who can, in fact, take you for a 3-week trek, one or two customers at a time. But that's a different level altogether. But so we're essentially 24 hours, 7 days to see the penguins and the South Pole. Or you can either just do the penguins if you don't feel like a long flight down to the South Pole.
When we come back, I'm going to actually ask you about the scientists and researchers that are living there on the South Pole. I happened to stumble upon a TikTok account of people there showing us how they live and where they store their food. And I found it so, so fascinating. We will take all of your questions. 011-883-0702, the WhatsApp line, 072-702-1702. If you'd like to look at some of the photographs of the things that we're talking about during this conversation, the website is ultima-antarcticexpeditions.com. ultima-antarcticexhibitions.com. And you can see all of the things that Murray's been talking about, the emperor penguins, the ice tunnels, the mountains, the South Pole as well. So you can really help yourself visualize the beauty of this place.
702 Masterclass.
A masterclass for today, Antarctic Exhibitions. We're with Murray Williams, Manager in Communications at Ultima Antarctic Exhibitions. And you can head over to their website for visual purposes, ultima-antarcticexpeditions.com. Apologies there. My tongue started to get twisted. We take your calls on 011-883-0702 and the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. So Murray, I really, really love the fact that it's so accessible. I mean, I was chatting to John Perlman just now. He was shocked when I told him, you know, you can just go to Cape Town and it's a 5-hour flight. But now here's the real question is, this sounds very expensive, and I'm not just talking about the trip itself, but also the preparation for going there.
Yeah, sure. So let me start at the beginning once again. You know, I think about 20 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, you know, everyone's idea of a sort of world famous holiday was to go. Like an old Peter Stuyvesant advert, you know, you fly on a jet plane and you go and lie around on speedboats and beautiful golden beaches and smoke cigarettes and stuff, you know,
yes.
Drink Bacardi rum or whatever. And I think certainly that tourism has changed. More and more tourists around the world are looking for something really not only meaningful, but something purposeful, something that they can really sort of feel that they're making a contribution to. And the wonderful aspect of our trips is that we actually piggyback on our sister company, which is Ultima Antarctic Logistics, and that company serves the world of science.
Mm.
All across Antarctica are science bases. Most of the, a lot of countries in the world have science bases down in Antarctica, and we personally service 12 or 13 countries, and our job is to ferry scientists back and forth along with their equipment, along with their generators, along with their power needs. Green energy is increasingly becoming a big thing. And so our expeditioners, tourists, for use of a better term, would actually catch a ride with the scientists. And you may find yourself sitting next to maybe a sibling, as you joked just now, but maybe a scientist, maybe some world famous guy who's a glaciologist or an ornithologist or an expert in emperor penguins. And once these scientists land in Antarctica at our airbase, they're then sent off. They either go on secondary flights or go overland to their scientific bases. But our tourism offering is very much based on this idea that science comes first. And so overwintering, if I may just answer your last question that you closed off with before the break, every year, believe it or not, there are people who don't leave Antarctica. Most countries would send about 2/3 of their people back home for the winter, but about 1/3 of them would stay. And this for at least 2.5 months is pitch dark. Sun doesn't come up, just like when we go down in midsummer, the sun doesn't set. So these are really hardcore scientists and support crew who would then man the bases during the winter. So that's the ethos. We're a member of IATA, the International Association of Antarctic Tour Operators, and we operate under incredibly strict guidelines. You don't put a foot wrong in Antarctica, you'll get jumped on.
Yes.
And what a pleasure to be able to know that we can take people down there. First of all, cross-subsidizing science, but secondly, actually not putting a foot wrong. Every single thing we take down comes back. So the old idea about taking only photographs and leaving only footprints.
Yes.
But yes, it does come at a price.
So just in terms of, I mean, you've mentioned that there are scientists that are there all the time. What is done to protect them in terms of, you know, living in a place that's dark 24/7 for 2 months? They are, I know it can affect your mental health and psychology quite a bit. Can you share with us what some of the interesting things are there to just keep them sane?
No, of course, of course. Look, the first thing to say is that the scientific basis and any tourism enterprises are very, very carefully set apart from each other. IATA really wants science to get on with the business of doing science, and expeditioners like ourselves to go and see the sights and the sounds. So tourists, visitors who fly with our expeditions don't have access to the scientific bases. Those are normally very, very strictly controlled.
Yes.
But I have had the pleasure of visiting one or two science bases from the logistics side. And you're right, the people who stay there over winter are hardcore. They're people who clearly, if you suffer from anxiety or loneliness, then Antarctica over winter may not be the place for you. And I think my best visit was to, I wonder if I'm allowed to say the name of the country. Anyway, very, very beautiful people, a particularly beautiful people who in the rooftops of their scientific base had a multi-faith prayer room, exquisitely decorated. You had to crouch your head and you almost sort of half crawled, half walked in there. And it was a little shrine to all the religions of the world, Muslim, Hindu, Christian, Judaism. And this was a place of refuge, I suppose. And can you imagine those winter months when the sun doesn't rise and you have people of different faiths in that prayer room practicing their faith together in solidarity with each other? And it's just the most exquisite place I think I've ever been.
When we come back, I want to find out about the laws on Antarctica, like who actually is in charge. Are there things that you're absolutely not allowed to do as well? And we open up the lines, 011-883-0702, the WhatsApp line, 072-702-1702.
702 Masterclass.
13 minutes to 3 o'clock. Our masterclass continues on Antarctic exhibitions. 011-883-0702, the WhatsApp line, 072-702-1702. If you have any questions for our guest, Murray Williams, Manager in Communications at Ultima Antarctic Exhibitions. Murray, before I ask you the many other questions that I have, I'd love to open up the line. So we're going to kick off with Raymond from Centurion. Raymond, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. It's much warmer, not as cold as Antarctica right now. It's nice and warm here.
It is indeed nice and warm. What question do you have for Murray?
I have a very hot question for the gentleman there.
Yes.
Please tell us in plain and simple English, how much does it cost for the various different packages that they're offering?
Do you want to know in rands, dollars, euros, or pounds?
No, I'm a rand person. Not in Zim dollars. Please, not in Zim dollars. Rands, South African rands.
Murray, how many rands do the different packages cost?
Afternoon, Raymond. Yes, not as cold as down there. I once left there, and it was minus 35 degrees when I left. And I got back to Cape Town 5.5 hours later, and it was plus 35 degrees. So in sort of 6 hours, there was a 70 degrees Celsius variable. So,
did you not get sick out of interest's sake?
I was so happy. How could I get sick?
Okay, talk to us about how many of the randellas we need for the packages.
No, sure. Look, these expeditions are very expensive, and that's just an operating cost of flying these extremely specially prepared aircraft down and everything else that happens down there. The full go, the full South Pole and Emperor Penguins expedition for 7 days costs about 1.4 million rand.
So that's for the full 7 days, okay?
That's right. And then the right to say that I've been to Antarctica, I'm one of those 0.00 whatever number of people to say I've been and spent 11 hours on the ice. That comes in the current exchange rate at about 300,000 rand for a 24-hour one-day trip.
Raymond, are you still listening?
I am listening. Yes. It's a little bit expensive for my budget, but it's nice to know.
Yes, and I'm glad. Thank you so much, Raymond, for asking for the specifics, because I do believe, Murray, that this is really one of those once in a lifetime trips. And if somebody wants to add it to their bucket list, at least they can know what it is they are working towards. So you can still have a day trip and experience it for 300,000 rands, but you literally can say, I went down there and I've been to Antarctica.
Cool. I think that's such a great point. I mean, we took someone down, just 2 months ago. And the person went down for a 3-day trip. But it wasn't really the 3 days. For that person, it was the culmination of a life's dream. And the person has literally read every single book on Antarctica, every written, for about 2.5 decades. Antarctica has been this person's passion. So going down there wasn't just about the 3 days. It was the culmination of their lifelong passion. And you'd be amazed at how many people feel the same way. They rock up and they say, I've been waiting for this my whole life. So, you know, Antarctica is a big, mysterious, iconic place in the public mind. And so people are willing, if they can afford it, to commit a huge amount of money to go and realize a lifelong dream, I guess.
So when we, let's say now, I've committed to the full South Pole 7-day experience. What are we doing day to day? Are we kind of walking around? Like, what are we actually doing on this exhibition?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, we leave Cape Town in the morning, and by mid-afternoon, you would be in Antarctica on the ice. And the first half day there would be spent being transported in our huge Hilux 4x4s down to our new Ultima Oasis camp. And that's where you're going to be spending at least 5 nights of your 7-day trip. Excuse me. Remember, the sun never sets there, so you don't have any dusk or nighttime to worry about. And so most of our guests stay up really late on the first night, even though you might be a little bit tired from the flight, and enjoy a sumptuous meal and just experience what it's like to go with guides and explore the environment around Oasis Camp.
So when you say
then
camp,
day one, so
when you say camp, I'm imagining that it's more like glamping. It's like a glamorous type of campsite. There are heaters. I'm eating a meal. I'm not like sitting eating out of the eating beans out of the tin, like quite exposed in a little tent.
No, absolutely. Thanks. Thanks so much for asking. So the camp is not, in fact, a camp at all. It's these are beautifully built timber cabins built by, in the Scandinavian vernacular, which means that they are built by Norwegian or Scandinavian methods, which are brilliant at keeping out the cold. So these are actually fully, fully insulated and quite large wooden cabins, which we've recently had refurbished. So don't worry about, there's no danger of your tent pole collapsing or eating ice. You're in proper dwellings, which will keep you warm and safe. And they sit on a beautiful escarpment of Nunatak, which are the mountains in Antarctica. And as you'll see from some of the photographs there, the views stretch for about 1.5 kilometers up towards the mountain range. And after only about a 15-minute walk, you can then and gaze out over the Antarctic ice shelf, which stretches for about 80 kilometers all the way to the ocean. So there's plenty to do around the camp, especially for people who want to walk and hike and view and just experience that wilderness, obviously always accompanied by our guides for safety reasons. And then on your 7-day trip, you've got the two big, big ticket items. That's flying down to the South Pole, which is about a 6-hour flight. And then a much shorter flight to go and see the emperor penguins, which, you know, of all the experiences, so you'd think the South Pole would be people's favorite because you can stand there and everywhere is north. I mean, who can say they've been to the South Pole? Goodness. But with the penguins, it's just, it's people who say they've been to the Ngorongoro crater, where they've seen the wildebeest migration, or they've been to Rwanda or to Uganda to see the gorillas. People who sit and look at the penguins are almost just weeping. It brings out a very extraordinary emotion in people. And then there are the sort of local expeditions to make up your days 3, 4, 5, depending on the schedule of going to the South Pole and back. And it's to go and see the ice wall, the ice cave when it's open, or the ice tunnel. So those are the sort of 4 main attractions, going all the way down to the South Pole, the penguins, the ice wall, the ice cave, and then hiking out overlooking the continental ice shelf. But 3 meals a day, hot water, warm beds, You can, inside the cabins at our camp, you can wear a t-shirt. They're beautifully insulated and obviously fantastic food and excellent South African wines for those who enjoy that.
I mean, I would imagine that people drink quite a bit out there, having a good time. And I mean, the images on the website can give a person quite a clear picture of what they'll be getting when they're staying there on the camp. But what are some of the rules when you go out to Antarctica?
No, thank you. So we prepare our guests incredibly carefully. There's a series of briefings in Cape Town before you leave. Obviously, we check your medical history, make sure that's all good. But most important is the environmental sensitivity of the place. And we have long lectures in Cape Town prepping people on not putting a foot wrong. No single-use plastics, no bubblegum wrappers. All the human waste, even, believe it or not, is ultimately brought back to Cape Town. If you go for a pee, 3 months later, your pee is going to be back in Cape Town.
What?
Not to be.
All human waste goes
everything,
back.
Everything.
This
is the most, along with safety, these are our two biggest rules for ourselves and under IATA.
Because I was
everything
going to
we
ask
take in comes out.
If there was some kind of plumbing system there, but it makes complete sense because you do want to protect that environment as much as possible. My goodness. Everybody can head over to the website ultima-antarcticexhibitions.com. Final words from you, Murray, for all of our listeners.
Awesome. Those of us who've been down there are incredibly blessed. And, you know, you were speaking about siblings earlier. I think
yes.
South Africans should start thinking about Antarctica almost as like a sibling of ours.
Yes.
It's not at the other end of the world. It's far away, but it's on our doorstep, only 5.5 hours away. So, Happy Siblings Day to everyone, and maybe if you're a South African, then wish Antarctica Happy Siblings Day too.
So somebody on the WhatsApp line says, Murray, you didn't tell us, what if I only have money for the one-way trip? I'll figure it out when I get there.
No, but we have to bring back everything we take in, remember?
Oh my gosh, I can't deal, Murray. Thank you so, so much for your time and for chatting to us on this masterclass. The conversation will be podcast on primemediaplus.com.